I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. I'm Michael Russo. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. My guest today, Jesper Wahlstedt of the Iowa Wild. Actually, it's pronounced Wahlstedt. That's how he told us it's pronounced in Swedish during training camp. But he also told us that we could pronounce it any way that we want. That's just because he's so happy to be here right now. And that was that time that he told us how to pronounce his last name was after his first exhibition win. I don't know if you remember the Ryan Hartman overtime goal. I don't know if you remember Ryan Hartman at this point. He's been out, it feels like, so long since that fight in Chicago. But Wahlstedt's my guest today. He just had his birthday the other day and celebrated his first ever North American professional victory with the Iowa Wild by scoring a goalie goal. It is, by my reporting, the first goalie goal in Minnesota Wild organization history. It's the first goalie goal. Definitely the Wild have never had a goalie goal. The Iowa Wild have never had a goalie goal. And I looked back and asked a bunch of people, and as far as they know, at least while the Houston Arrows were the Wild's affiliate, that there was never a goalie goal there. So we believe this was the first goalie goal in Wild organization history. And Wahlstedt now 1-0-3, the 20th overall pick in last year's draft. He's 1-0-3 in Iowa and off to a good start. Hasn't gotten a lot of starts because he was injured in between there, and we'll talk to Wahlstedt about that today. But the Wild are down in Nashville. Joe Smith is down there, and hopefully everybody's been reading Joe's exceptional coverage of the Wild since he got here early last month. And did an incredible Stephen Fogarty piece last week. Happened to be next to Mason Shaw when Shaw scored his second NHL goal and his first at home. He was sitting next to actually Mason Shaw's dad, and Shaw's dad high-fived him, and that was a really good piece. Today's down in Nashville alone, so he got exclusively Tyson Jost. He got exclusively Mason Shaw as well, and Mason Shaw has been told to stay, move out of the hotel, get your own place. Great anecdotes from Mason Shaw to Joe Smith. I won't ruin it because this podcast will be out before the story, but great anecdotes from Mason Shaw and how Billy Guerin broke the news to him that he was staying in Minnesota. Really good stuff. And Mason Shaw just continues to have bite in his game and has essentially taken the job of Tyson Jost, who was told by Dean Evason in Ottawa. I think I reported at the time that Dean Evason pulled Tyson Jost at the morning skate into a room and had a 5-minute conversation with him. And the big thing that he told Tyson Jost then was, you're not playing with bite. And since then, Tyson Jost continually has been getting scratched. He was scratched 2 in a row there in Ottawa and Detroit. And, you know, ever since he got back in the lineup, maybe didn't prove himself to the point that, that Dean Evason had liked, and now he has been not only scratched the last 3 games, but Mason Shaw has essentially taken his job. And in a further indictment, Jost was scratched for guys like Adam Beckman and Joseph Cramarosa. So clearly Tyson Jost is not in good standing right now with the Wild after a really, really good training camp. And I know that Tyson is trying to keep his head up. I know, I'm sure he's down in the dumps, frustrated, but again, Joe Smith got him today and he held his head high, and he's trying to figure out a way to get back in the lineup and then prove himself there to play with the bite and the jam that the Wild would like him to play. He was given a lot of opportunity early in the season, just didn't produce, and then slowly but surely worked his way down the lineup and eventually out of the lineup. And now the question is, how do the Wild handle this stuff? Brandon Duhaime is coming back to the lineup tonight. Jordan Greenway is out again. Ryan Hartman's out definitely long term. I saw him after the game the other night against Seattle, and he looked very, very frustrated and didn't look healthy at all. So he's not going to be back for a while. So do you just dump Tyson Jost, or do you just continue to have a $2 million player sit in the press box? My gut, Billy Guerin's at the GM's meetings now. Got to think he's shopping Tyson Jost for about anything right now just to get out of the cap hit. And if that doesn't work, then maybe you put him on waivers and try to send him down to the minors and get a little cap relief that way. But right now, having a $2 million player in the press box is definitely not ideal. Although Alex Goligoski, also a $2 million player, is in the press box every single night as well. And remember, Saturday night, he gets honored for his 1,000th game. He's only played 1 game since then. And do you play him in his 1,000th game that he's being honored in, or in the game that he's being honored for playing his 1,000th game? Or do you have him in street clothes there? Definitely an awkward situation potentially coming up on Saturday. The Lions tonight definitely scrambled a bit. Dean Evason admitted today that he has talked with his coaching staff about potentially at some point temporarily splitting up Matt Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov. It won't happen tonight, though. But the reality is as much as these two are carrying the offense and have to be bearing the brunt of carrying the offense, they have not been good lately. Their lines are getting slaughtered in the possession numbers, and a lot of the reasons are they only, again, look for each other, and they're throwing pucks away left and right, particularly on the power play. But Zuccarello especially is just throwing pucks through traffic and things like that, and it's created a major mess. And, you know, again, East-West hockey, turnovers galore, being too cute. That is usually when Dean Evason brings that stuff up. He's talking about those two players specifically. But again, it's that fine balance there. That's how they create their offense. And they are the only two on this team right now creating any offense. So how do you make them pay the piper? But if you remember last year, Dean temporarily split them when he felt they were, quote, not playing the hockey the right way. And they definitely heard the message loud and clear because they both picked up their game, especially Kaprizov had a monster game in that game and admitted that he heard the message loud and clear. And eventually they got back together and then continue to produce. So at some point that might happen, but right now it's not going to happen tonight. But Marco Rossi will play with Matt Boldy and Marcus Foligno tonight. And the other lines are Mason Shaw is going to play with Yule Eriksson Ek and Connor Durr, which could make a really good line. And then Adam Beckman's with Sam Steele and Brandon Duham, who has not practiced since he was hurt. So they're going to ease him back into the lineup. But remember, Duham was playing up in the lineup when he got injured that one home game against, I believe it was Montreal. The guy that they call Wi-Fi in Montreal with all the letters and vowels in his name starts with an X, number 72, the one that that went nuts at the end of the game with Marco Rossi. Anyway, he's the one that I believe injured Brandon Duham. But he'll be back in the lineup tonight. Trying to think what else is going on. Mentioned Stephen Fogarty's story. You got Wallstack coming up as well. But right now the team is, you know, sort of treading water. They were 5-1-1, remember, coming back after that win against Montreal and after that long five-game road trip. And they had a real disappointing flat loss to the Seattle Kraken, went to LA, played hard, lost 1-0, went to Anaheim, played hard, won 4-1, went to Seattle, won 1-0, were completely outplayed in that game, but won the game 1-0 thanks to Marc-Andre Fleury, and then came home and blew a game against the San Jose Sharks by losing in a shootout 3-2. So we'll see how they do against Nashville. But now the Wild have had a soft schedule the last month. That and they are 7-6-2. So now things get tougher. They're at Nashville tonight. Pittsburgh comes to town. Carolina comes to town. Winnipeg comes to town. Toronto comes to town. And then Arizona, Edmonton, and Anaheim as the Wild open a 7-game homestand coming up against some really good teams in there as well. But without further ado, let's hear from Jesper Wallstedt. But first, here's a word from one of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Goes in on Wallstedt. He'll play it and go for the empty net. Jesper Wallstedt does it! Jesper Wallstedt, as if he hasn't done enough tonight, has just scored an empty net goal with 32.6 seconds to play. He has done it all as Jesper Wallstedt, and he will go through the line at the bench with his glove whirling in the air. An incredible moment for Jesper Wallstedt. Oh, my word. Well, Wallstedt was ready for this. The shot came from neutral. He gloved it and put it right down onto his forehand and then went 200 feet.
Well, that was the sound of Ben Gislason calling the first ever goalie goal in Minnesota Wild organization history, not just Iowa Wild history. No Wild goalie has ever scored a goal. No Iowa Wild goalie has ever scored a goal. And no Houston Aeros goalie has ever scored a goal, at least while they were a Wild affiliate. And that was the first one by Jesper Wallstedt. We will call him Jespa Wahlstedt. That's the way it's pronounced in Sweden. And how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great, great. Well, congratulations. And 20th birthday also right around the corner. And what a way to celebrate your first North American Pro victory and a goalie goal. What was it like?
Oh, it was crazy. It was really surreal. I've scored one when I was younger, and I never probably thought that I was gonna get the chance to do it again. It was very surreal. I was joking with my brother because the goal I scored last time was around 5 years and a couple of days ago. So I told him and said, like, if I can score one goal every 5 years, that's something pretty good. So. No, it was so surreal, so fun. So hopefully someday, I hope I can get the chance to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to go down in history with the best shooting percentage in Iowa Wild history, that's for sure. You're going to get 100%, even if you get another and another. It was like the perfect storm too, right? I mean, he just flipped the puck right in your glove, and it was like you didn't even think. You just put it down on the ground and shot.
No, I think I did. Like all the math pretty fast in my head at the moment the puck was coming into me in the air. I was kind of figuring out, okay, we have a 2-goal lead here. We're on the PK. There isn't really much risk right here. So I'm going to try to go for it. And it ended up going the back of the net. So that was fun.
And Jed Brackett was telling me that he was just disappointed that you didn't go post and end, that it was just dead center of the net.
I felt like that center is a little bit more risk free, so
no doubt.
I got lucky there.
A lot of Wild fans have asked if you could play center. Yes, but because the Wild could use some scoring touch up here right now. Or have you ever played any other positions?
I was a defenseman when I was young, probably until I was about 12 or 13. I was playing for a smaller team that was just outside of Västerås, my hometown, though. So they needed a couple of players. So I played as a defenseman there and as a goalie back in my hometown team then. And I actually had 14 points in 7 games, 7 goals,
wow.
7 assists. So it was that back at that time where everything didn't really matter as much. And I was growing a lot when I was young, so I was quite big at that time. So I was a very offensive defenseman. I would like to go forward, but I didn't really like to back check a lot. So that's probably the reason why I got so many points. I was playing more like a forward.
That's hilarious. Heater wants to know if you got to keep your first goal puck and what you're going to do with it.
Yeah, I did. I don't know, probably send it back to my parents back home and hopefully keep it somewhere. I remember I have my puck from when I was young too, still back there. So maybe this one would like to get some company besides that one. So it's for sure fun to keep saving those.
It was really fun getting to know you during training camp, Jesper. I mean, we obviously, it was a bizarre situation when you were drafted in the first round in the middle of the pandemic. We really have only talked to you via Zoom ever since you were drafted. And then finally, we get to see you in the locker room. We get to see you winning exhibition games as well. What has this whole experience been like coming over to North America and just the adjustment to North America, both on and off the ice?
Oh, it's been great so far. I really enjoyed the rookie camp there and also the training camp, meeting all the prospects, but also all the veteran guys and the NHL players. It was really, really nice. And also like sharing the crease with Fleury and Gustafsson and the other goalie prospects and trying to learn and pick up new things there has been really good. And I felt like I grew a lot up there, and then sent down and got to start a season here, getting to know this organization. All the players here have been good so far. Like guys like Ryan O'Rourke and Damien Giroux here have really taken really good care of me, inviting me over for dinners and so on to hang out with them over there. And they actually threw me a little birthday party yesterday and kind of have a dinner over there. So we're a little crew here with. Me, Rorke and G and Simon as well. So we're trying to spend a little bit of time, and I think that have definitely helped me adjust over here a little bit and taking care of the things outside of hockey, because as a young gun, a lot of the things outside of hockey is at least as important as the thing on the ice. So just keeping everything off the ice in check, and then trying to keep developing on the ice has been my first kind of priority now.
And especially, I mean, you know, being a teenager coming over here, at least up until the other day,
yeah,
you know, just sure. Getting used to living, I mean, in North America, in Des Moines, I mean, I'm sure it is a culture shock.
It is. It really is. And I think, like, living very close to those three guys have definitely helped. And they come with a lot of good things to help that adjustment being a little bit easier, and come with small tips and tricks here and there, and just making sure I'm in a good mood and a good situation to keep being happy and getting down to the arena and keep wanna improve has definitely helped. So they've been great so far.
Now, you've only played four games, so there was an injury in between. Are you okay now?
Yeah, it was just a little weak, a little scratch there, so had to take some rest, but getting back now, so it's been good.
You know, what has, first of all, I heard that they also gave you a nice little send off at practice today, for your birthday.
Yeah, they did. I got a rocket between my eyes today. So, I was a little shaken up, but, we could finish the rest of the practice without any problems. So, wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. That's what I heard, that during practice, there was a little concern that you would even be able to do this podcast, but you seem to be, you know, unscathed, which is, thankful, right there. Before I get to a bunch of Twitter questions, I did want to, ask you, Jesper, about Mason Shaw. I mean, you know, what has been the reaction of, you know, I know you haven't been in Iowa long, but Mason Shaw has gone through unbelievable adversity to get to the NHL. This really is such a feel good story that he leaves Iowa and it looks like he's never going back. No. Given a real number today, I mean, what has been the reaction of all your teammates down there to seeing a guy who has worked his butt off to get to this point, make it to the NHL?
Yeah, you know, I've only got to know Mason for a couple of weeks. I was with him during the camps up there, and also I think around a week or so down here in Iowa. And he's just such a great person. As you said, he works his ass off every day and comes down to the arena with a smile on his face and really try to get everyone involved. He's not leaving anyone outside. And yeah, he was a great captain for us. I think he's just that leader we needed. And yeah, I'm so happy for him just being up there and taking, trying to make himself, or trying to like get into the role that he have gotten up there. He's been playing. I've been watching every game Minnesota has played, and I think he has just been terrific out there on the ice. So, very happy for him. And, I hope he's stays up there and keeps continuing this success he has this far.
Let's get to some Twitter questions. Yes, but Justin Back asks, I see that your dad played goaltender in Sweden. I know your brother did as well, if I'm not mistaken, by the way. How much did that factor into you becoming the touted goaltender that you are?
A lot, I would say. I was a little bit in between goal and defenseman when I was young, and maybe dad and mom was maybe hoping for a defenseman, but then I also had my brother was playing goal and both of them clearly saw that I was a better goaltender than a player. So when I was deciding, I decided to become a goalie instead, but maybe it became a little bit more pricey for my dad in the long run, but I hope it turns out and I can give him some payback one day.
Great question here from Jordan. Wants to know if your number 30 is a tribute to Henrik Lundqvist, and also are you going to stick with that, or are you going to try to ask the Wild to one day unretire their number one that's up in the rafters just to honor the fans?
Yeah, I've seen these a lot, and the whole reason why I had number one these two past years has been because when I got up in the SHL team in Luleå, the starting goaltender there had number 30, so I couldn't pick it. And then for my second year, they didn't want me to change number because I had everything in number one, so I couldn't change it over to number 30 either. So now when I got the chance to finally decide what number I wanted, I picked 30, which I've had since I was probably 10 years old. I've always been a 30 guy. Okay. Because of Henrik Lundqvist. So my goal and my plan is to stick with 30 as long as I can, but we'll see what I do. If there's another goalie sometime, maybe I'll go with another number, but no, I'm not going to ask the Wild to retire number one. In my best interest, I'm staying without it. I'm more of a 30 guy or maybe some other number.
You've gotten to know Lundqvist a little bit. Am I wrong on that?
I've met him a couple of times, and yeah, he's a terrific person. And I think like the reason why so many Swedish goaltenders are so into him is not only because what he did on the ice, but like what a great human he's been off the ice and what he meant to Swedish goalie development throughout all these years. So he's more than just an ice hockey goalie to us, I would say.
Noah wants to know, what forward are you most looking forward to making a save on in the NHL, and what's the strangest thing that happened to you during the 2022 World Junior Championships?
What forward? I was very hyped in the preseason when I got to see that I was going to play against Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. And also Pavelski there. That was very surreal to me. I just remember playing NHL when I was young and having them on my team instead. And now I was facing shots against them. But I think the easiest answer is probably McDavid, I would say. Just the best player in the world and still young. And I think our generation have just seen him coming up and going through everything and just how he kind of blow the NHL away by how good he is. So he's definitely, hopefully one day I can make it up there to try to play against him.
And what was the whole World Junior experience like? I mean, you go over to Alberta the first time, it gets postponed while you're there, and then obviously you go back this summer.
Yeah, the first World Juniors during during the Christmas there, it got canceled, and I was feeling great. I had a pretty good game against Russia, and then a outstanding game against Slovakia, and then got canceled, and I ended up with COVID, and I was sitting in quarantine for 5 days in Red Deer, which for the people who hasn't been in Red Deer, there ain't much to do there. And I also was locked into a room, so it was tough, but a little bit of adversity. I've never killed anyone. I just kept improving and kept developing, and then get back to the World Juniors, which was so clear to me that I had to go back. I just wanted to get back there again. It was probably my last chance to play for the international junior team there in Sweden. So it was my last tournament as a junior player overall. So as soon as they reached out to me, it was a clear yes for me. And I just looked so much forward to it to get out there and play it. And yeah, it was going for that gold medal, but we lost to Finland there with a 1-0 loss, and ended up securing the bronze medal, which was very good, and I was very happy with that result.
Yeah, I know Wild fans just had a blast watching you from afar. I don't know. I know that you said you're not big into social media, but you definitely realize how much Wild fans are so looking forward to eventually seeing you in this uniform, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I just feel a lot of support overall from all the Wild fans. I can really see it on, even though I'm just out scrolling a little bit on Instagram and looking at my DMs or so on, there's a lot of Wild fans who are like just texting me and sending good messages or motivating me and so on. And I definitely see all of them, and maybe I can't like text back on everything, but just to say it, I definitely see all of them, and it means a lot to me. And it's been really good so far.
By the way, I've been to Red Deer one day in my life. I remember I went to a bar there called Billy Bob's. It's like a country western bar. That's the only thing I know about Red Deer.
Okay.
Let me ask you this. Here's a great question from JBX, and we learned this actually during the World Juniors. You had an unbelievable game in the World Juniors. You guys lost, and after the game, all the quotes from you were about how bad you played. And we were all kind of like, you know, amazed at your accountability. And that's what he asks. He said, personal accountability seems to be a huge theme for you, often citing your own performance for fault, despite how your team may have played. How does this mindset give you an edge as a goaltender? And how does it play into your style of your game?
I feel like I've always been a leader on all the teams I've been playing on. Maybe sometimes I'm not the loudest guy, but I But at all the times, I've always wanted to be kind of like an internal leader for the group. It's impossible to give a goalie a letter, so you can't really see it. But it's something within the group. I take a lot of accountability for what I want to contribute with to the success we have as a team. And especially during the World Juniors team, I felt like I was after the nose from Alexander Holtz and William Eklund and so on. I felt like I was one of the leading players there. I was one of the guys who had to play good if we wanted to go anywhere, it felt like. So me having a game all, or a worse game than what I was expecting didn't give us the chance to win that game. And I don't want to be the guy that just sits back being quiet. I want to tell that I'm expecting more from myself. And I want to send those signals to the team so they can feel like, okay, he's expecting more from himself. And maybe that give them an extra boost to block an extra shot or whatever they can do for me too. Because at the end of the day, we're out there, we're trying to win games, and we're doing as a team. And we need everyone on the team to win that game. It can't be a one-man show or so on, but we need everyone, and we need everyone to contribute. And I'm very hard on myself. I have very high expectations on myself, even higher than whoever the fans are or the organization. Or I'm always going to be the one at the end of the day that has the highest expectations on myself. So, and I also think that's a way to keep pushing me, to keep developing, keep getting better and better, and hopefully become what I can be. And that's just something I have in between or in myself that I'm never happy with. It's hard for me to be happy with my performances. Because I just want to keep improving, even though it's a 35 save night, and I still let in two goals or three goals. There's still three goals that I can keep improving on. I could have done something better to not let in those goals. So it may be a different mindset to some people, but that's just how I think. And a great way for me to always keep improving and keep getting better.
Man, what an impressive attitude you have, and I guess that's how you become a first round pick in the National Hockey League. A couple more fun ones for you, Jesper. What do you do on the side for fun? I know that we were talking right before we came on that you're a big gamer.
Yeah, that is right. It's like right now, especially during the seasons, there's a lot of video games going on. I have my computer with me here, so. My little laptop here, so there's a lot of gaming and just getting in touch with my friends back home. That's to me something that it's very valuable in life is your friends and family, and I value my friends that I've had throughout my whole life very, very high. So just keeping in touch, talking with them every day, playing a couple of games or whatever, and just laughing with them is very meaningful to me. And that just sometimes just playing one game of Counter-Strike with my friends and laughing a little bit, it can make my whole day without seeing them for a long while. So,
yep.
And also I love playing golf. That's what I do during the whole summer. So I play so much golf that it's probably ridiculous. But also a great way to keep in touch and talk, have a good conversation with your friends and go out for a nice round of golf. So I would say
that's awesome.
Those two on the sides are very important to me.
Dylan asks, who's the hardest guy to stop in practice in Iowa?
Oh, wow. I would say that Mitchell Chafee has a really good shot. He can really rip it and he can really put it where he wants to. So he's really good. But as a skillful guy, I would say Nick Pétan too, because he just has those silky smooth hands and it's so hard to read sometimes. So those two guys in different aspects of it, kind of, I would say.
Jack wants to know, what hometown meal or dish are you missing the most since coming to North America?
Probably some good Swedish meatballs. That's probably what it is. I can still probably find them here. but it's just, it doesn't just have the same feeling.
Right.
But yeah, that's probably the thing. I don't eat it that much, but now when I've been away from it, I just realize like how much I actually miss them, kind of.
You mentioned Fleury earlier in the podcast. Andrew wants to know if were you able to soak in much of Marc-Andre Fleury during training camp?
Yeah, I was having a lot of good conversations with him, both out on the ice, but also off ice, getting into a little bit of the gear and everything. And, you know, I'm a very modern goalie, and he's maybe a little bit more old school kind of in one way. But it's so interesting to me to kind of compare the different styles and different equipment and everything that goes into your kind of like your game plan overall. So yeah, a lot of good, great conversations with him, and a lot of fun. Like, he's such a funny dude. He has so many funny jokes and so many other fun things. Like I enjoyed every moment I spent with him. So yeah, it was great.
Mariah wants to know, goalies are typically known for being superstitious. Do you have any superstitions or routines that you always follow?
Not really. I don't have that much. I'm trying to stay away from it so I don't have to feel that I need to do something before a game day. Most of the things I do are usually like keeping the same warm up and kind of doing the same things when I'm down on the arena. But for like pregame meal, pregame naps, I never nap. That's maybe one thing. I hate pregame naps. That's not my thing at all. So, but pregame meal doesn't matter at all. But when I head down to the arena, I start to do the same things over and over again. But after the start of this season, after the three losses in a row I had, I started to switch up a little bit. So I've never played sewer before games, but now I have started to do it just because I wanted to switch up something and switch my whole warm-up routine and stop having music before games. So I'm just trying to figure out something that works for me over here now. Just sometimes you just need a break from what you've done all the time. So
it is funny. The last podcast I did, Kalen Addison was on. He said he actually takes like 4-hour game day naps. So you're very different than him. Speaking of music, Jared, by the way, asked, what kind of music are you into? He wants to know if you're a fan of the Swedish band In Flames.
I don't know about that band, to be honest. Okay. I'm into, mostly I listen to American rap. That's probably my thing. A little bit of EDM, house music, and also these songs are a little bit more chill. This far, I have not gotten into country music. It's not my thing. I know it's very American, but have not clicked on me yet. I hear it a lot. Like, it's almost the only thing that plays in our locker room and plays on the roadies and so on, but haven't really stuck with me yet.
That's hilarious. And two more for you. One is a fun one. One more of a serious one. Eric wants to know if you have a favorite nickname that has grown on you. He suggests when you get the big call to the NHL, the Great Wall of St. Paul. That's a good one.
I think throughout all the years, it's always been Wally, just mm-hmm. because it's kind of easy and just comes with my last name. But I also heard during one of the games here, I think it was Caspic or something called me Jay Walls, and it was it was quite funny too. So those two right now are the ones sticking with me over here.
Cool. And last question for you, Jesper. You know, a lot of Wild fans obviously are, you know, yearning to know how quickly it'll take before you get to play games in the National Hockey League. You know, whether you could even be the backup next year or something like that. Have the Wild actually mapped out a plan for you, or is it pretty much, are you just not keeping your eye on that and you're just going to play games in Iowa until you develop to the point where you belong here in Minnesota?
Yeah, I haven't spoken with them about a plan. I wouldn't say that. It's more I take it day by day. Of course, I have maybe a little bit of my own plan in my head, but I won't tell that one out. But you try to go day by day, every day, try to keep improving, keep working hard. I know that it took some time when I got into the SHL, and then my second year was a great year, And he's started off a little bit rough here, trying to just get into everything, settle down, put piece by piece into the puzzle, make a good structure. And we're trying to build something that is long term here. We're not trying to build something short term and just rush me in my development. So if it takes a little bit longer time, that's fine with me. I'll just say that we'll see how long it takes. I'm open to whatever they feel like, how long they think the development is. But I for sure, when I get up there and feel like I belong there, I don't want to rush up there and get up there and feel like, okay, this is a step over where I'm at my game right now. I feel like I want to get there, show up and show that I belong there, show that I can play there. And whenever that time is, we'll see probably. But I don't want to get up there and make a fool out of myself. I want to show up and show both to the organization, but also to the teammates and everything that I belong there. I can give them a good chance to win. And we go back to the same things as before. I want to take my accountability up there when I get there. And I don't want to feel like I can't do that because I'm not good enough. So I'm going to let it take the time it needs, but hopefully that day will come fast, but we just have to see.
I cannot believe that English is not your first language. It's unbelievable. Like you are so well spoken, and what an attitude you have. And I know all of us in Minnesota, fans and media alike, cannot wait to cover you, Jesper, and do it at your own time, as you mentioned.
Yeah, thank you guys. No, it's always great speaking with you.
Yep, thanks. That is Jesper Wallstedt, and here's a word from one of our sponsors. Well, my thanks to Jesper Wallstedt for joining Straight from the Source this week. Great, 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 great hockey player that Wild fans will be hopefully seeing in their lineup for many, many years as the long-term future number one goalie of this franchise. Lots of podcasts throughout our platform. I don't know if you've heard, but I co-host with Jesse Granger and Rob Pizzo the Athletic Hour every single Wednesday. And our guest this week, Tom Fitzgerald, the New Jersey Devils GM. The Devils have been one of the biggest surprises in the National Hockey League. I covered Tom Fitzgerald back in my time in Florida. And if you listened last season, Tom Fitzgerald was actually a guest here on Straight from the Source as well. So Tom will be joining the Athletic Hockey Show on Wednesday. So definitely listen to that one. Follow us on your favorite podcast platform and leave a rating and review. And right now, get an annual subscription to The Athletic for just $1 a month for 6 months when you visit theathletic.com/straightfromthesource. Straight from the Source will probably return next week, maybe with Mason Shaw. And don't forget to listen to me on The Athletic Hockey Show Roundtable along with Rob Pizzo and Jesse Granger every Wednesday here at The Athletic. Talk to you next week, everybody.